that a man may call the greatest things in life.
The warriors leaned closer. This should be worth hearing. The guest thought long and hard and then said with deliberation,
"Hot water, good dentistry, and soft lavatory paper."
Brilliant octarine light flared in the forge. Golda Weatherwax, stripped to the waist, his face hidden by a mask of smoked glass, squinted into the glow and brought a hammer down with surgical precision. The magic squealed and writhed in the tongs, but still he worked it, drawing it into a line of agonized fire. A floorboard creaked. Golda had spent many hours tuning them. Always a wise precaution with an ambitious assistant who walked like a cat. D flat. That meant he was just to the right of the door.
"Ah, Trumon," he said, without turning,
and noted with some satisfaction the faint indrawing of breath behind him.
"Good of you to come. Shut the door, will you?"
Trumon pushed the heavy door, his face expressionless. On the high shelf above him, various bottled impossibilities wallowed in their pickle jars and watched him with interest. Like all wizards' workshops, the place looked as though a taxidermist had dropped his stock in a foundry and then had a fight with a maddened glassblower, braining a passing crocodile in the process. It hung from the ceiling and smelt strongly of camphor. There were lamps and rings that Trumon itched to rub, and mirrors that looked as though they could repay a second glance. A pair of 7-league boots stirred restlessly in a cage. A whole library of grimoires, not of course as powerful as the octavo, but still heavy with spells, creaked and rattled their chains as they sensed the wizard's covetous glance on them. The naked power of it all stirred him as nothing else could. But he deplored the scruffiness and Golda's sense of theatre. For example, he happened to know that the green liquid bubbling mysteriously through a maze of contorted pipework on one of the benches was just green dye with soap in it, because he'd bribed one of the servants. One day, he thought, it's all going to go, starting with that bloody alligator. His knuckles whitened.
"Well now,"
said Golda cheerfully, hanging up his apron and sitting back in his chair with the lion paw arms and duck legs.
"You sent me this memmy thing."
Trumon shrugged.
"Memo. I merely pointed out, Lord, that the other orders have all sent agents to Skund Forest to recapture the spell, while you do nothing," he said. "No doubt you will reveal your reasons in good time."
"Your faith shames me," said Golda.
"The wizard who captures the spell will bring great honour on himself and his order," said Trumon. "The others have used boots and all manner of elsewhere spells. What do you propose using, Master?"
"Did I detect a hint of sarcasm there?"
"Absolutely not, Master."
"Not even a smidgen?"
"Not even the merest smidgen, Master."
"Good. Because I don't propose to go."
Golda reached down and picked up an ancient book. He mumbled a command and it creaked open. A bookmark, suspiciously like a tongue, flicked back into the binding. He fumbled down beside his cushion and produced a little leather bag of tobacco and a pipe the size of an incinerator. With all the skill of a terminal nicotine addict, he rubbed a nut of tobacco between his hands and tamped it into the bowl. He snapped his fingers and fire flared. He sucked deep, sighed with satisfaction, looked up.
"Still here, Trumon?"
"You summoned me, Master," said Trumon levelly. At least that's what his voice said. Deep in his grey eyes was the faintest glitter that said he had a list of every slight, every patronising twinkle, every gentle reproof, every knowing glance, and for every single one Golda's living brain was going to spend a year in acid. "Oh, yes, so I did. Humour the deficiencies of an old man," said Golda pleasantly. He held up the book he had been reading.
"I don't hold with all this running about," he said. "It's all very dramatic, mucking about with magic carpets and the like, but it isn't true magic to my mind. Take 7 leagues.